If you feel like it's all on your shoulders, that's not going to be, no matter how much you're paid, that's not a great way to live and work. But if you feel like, wow, I am very much connected with people that I trust and like, even though we're at very different levels or different jobs, that helps you as well as all those people.
Hello and welcome to the second English episode of our Love to Lead podcast for new work and new leadership, brought to you by Vitas & Partner. Our motto is to inspire leaders and organizations to create and explore new ways of working together, embracing both new work and new leadership concepts. I'm Barbara Vitas, and I'm very delighted that you are tuning in today and spending your time with us. And today, I am pleased to welcome a friend and an inspiring innovator, John Stepper, to our studio, the brilliant mind behind the Working Out Loud framework. John is also speaker and the founder of Working Out Loud Movement. He has spent nearly 20 years in IT roles at Deutsche Bank, gaining deep insight into the challenges of traditional work environments. After facing a critical moment that required him to reorient his career, John turned his focus towards helping others create more meaningful connections at work. Before Deutsche Bank, he held leadership positions at companies like AT&T and Morgan & Stanley, where he improved his skills in managing teams and driving collaboration. Working Out Loud is the practice that encourages people to share their work openly, build supportive relationships, and achieve their personal and professional goals. This approach has proven to be a game changer for countless individuals and organizations worldwide. John and I have been working together for several years, starting with small experiments and evolving into a close collaboration. And today I'm proud to be one of the 13 certified Working Out Loud coaches for Spanish and German-speaking regions, helping to spread John's message of meaningful work and connections. John, have I forgotten anything?
Wow. No, you did a fantastic job. I think the only thing I'd add is that, you know, yes, Working Out Loud changes how people relate to each other and to the work that they do. But in some cases, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, it changes how people relate to themselves. And I think that's when I see that, that's what really motivates me to keep going and to keep sharing this with more people.
Yeah, I can really confirm this, because I think my life is like before and after Working Out Loud. How to connect with people, build my network, and work openly and transparently. So thank you very, very much for bringing this method into my life. Yeah, John, I already asked you during our prep talk, what are the three key steps or milestones in your life that have brought you to where you are today? Not to the studio, but to this point in your journey.
Well, you know, you talked about some of the companies I worked at. I worked in big companies for a very long time, like 30 years. And what led me to where I am now first was I got laid off. I had a very kind of abrupt discontinuity in my career. And just before I got laid off, I started to see like, there's got to be a better way. That I can get more from work and that work can get more from me. So that was milestone number one. This discontinuity in my career, this interruption. The second, that led me here was working with Katarina Krenz, who we've talked about many times. And she was the first person to use Working Out Loud in a company. And I really, at that time, I had published something, but I didn't think that it would be used in companies, certainly not in Germany, sitting in New York City. And then the third thing, which is more recent and which has really brought a lot of joy and creativity to my life, is working out loud itself. I've come into contact because of this method, because of this approach to work with, I can't tell you how many hundreds, maybe thousands of smart, creative, nice people, some of whom just use the method, but some of whom have become friends like you and I, some of whom have come up with new ideas and ways to collaborate together in universities and hospitals and factories. And so my life has, like yours, there's a before and after, has kind of fundamentally changed. And those were three milestones along the way.
So thank you very much, Sean. We are now on the new podcast, Love to Lead, and I would like to dive deeper into this topic. You know, as a consultant, I work very closely with the leaders, and this idea of Love to Lead came about because I often see leaders feeling overwhelmed, burdened with the weight of their responsibilities. So it's about rethinking leadership. What does it mean to love to lead in this new era of leadership? You already mentioned, John, that it could start with self-leadership. So what is working? And why it is so important to change minds and attitudes and, of course, behavior.
The more that work has changed, so the pace of change, things have accelerated, there's less certainty, there's more volatility, et cetera, et cetera. What that means practically is that the traditional planning methods, the traditional goal setting, the traditional cascading of instructions down the organization chart don't work that well, if they ever did. And so what's required in the workplace is for people to take initiative, mm-hmm. to say, look, my boss doesn't know necessarily what to do. And so I've got to figure out who and what inside and outside the company I need to get something done. And those are skills that you're not really taught anywhere. Mm-hmm. Some people kind of cultivate them, but most don't. Most are used to, I wait for instructions from the boss. I wait to see what happens. And it's too slow. It's too ineffective. So why working out loud is more useful than ever. It's not about social media. It's not really about traditional networking. It's about cultivating the skill that says, no matter what it is I have to do or learn or be, I have the skills to reach out to anybody and to develop enough trust quickly so that there's mutual benefit and cooperation. And if you cultivate those skills, you can apply them to any goal in work and life, and you'll be more effective and you'll be happier.
Yeah. That is about self-leadership. So to take the responsibility over your own life and go for it. On the other hand, as we work in little circles with 4 to 5 peers within Working Out Loud, we have the lateral leadership. So we are changing our roles. And I think that is a first step to be more experienced in leadership, in traditional leadership.
Well, right. So when you mentioned in the circle, why it's a safe place for people to experiment. Because everything I just said, most people would be like, well, okay, that's probably true. And maybe he's right. But how do I do that? Mm-hmm. And to do it in the workplace where there are performance reviews and very status conscious systems and processes is very difficult. So this circle, this confidential, safe place with the structure and shared accountability and support of 3 or 4 other people, allows you to experiment and step by step gradually develop these skills through hands-on practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. You gain experience from the circle, receive feedback in a safe environment, and then apply what you've learned in your everyday work, business, and teams. I believe this process can help companies change their culture, making people more involved and confident. How do you see this impacting leadership?
Well, I can't tell you the number of times you'll see psychological safety in your feed or in the news. Work isn't safe. And I think for most, even people in talent programs, Working Out Loud is often used inside talent development programs. And you would think, well, these people already have their network, or they already have some success. But why companies use it is because what they don't have and what people don't do is to continue building and expanding their network and developing trusting relationships. They rely on the org chart to define what the relationship should be, and then they're constantly looking around them to see what's okay to do, what's not okay, who's doing what, where do I fit in, all of that. And that's a terrible way to get things done. It tends to be defensive. It tends to be uncooperative. It tends to be unfulfilling. And it doesn't bring out the best in people. So how this relates to leadership in companies is, look, we get it. We still have an organization chart. We still have people at different levels. That's the way it is. But in that context, can we also build relationships between people based on exchanges over time that lead to trust and cooperation and collaboration so that everybody wins? And the answer is yes, but these are learnable skills that require practice over time. And that's what one of our methods does.
John, you know that in the circus, we often mix hierarchies and departments, creating this way cross-functional and cross-hierarchy settings. We know that in the beginning, people can feel a bit confused, like, oh, my boss is here as well. But over time, it improves. And as we move towards new work and flatter hierarchies, do you think that working out loud can help people to get used to this dynamics of learning side by side with their bosses? What has been your experience, and what future skills or competencies do you think people can develop in leadership through working out loud?
So I've seen what you've seen, and yet that's very difficult to do. Meaning when you, so very often we typically don't recommend that you mix levels, because when the boss is in the room, you can't help it. Everybody's behavior changes. And it has to be a pretty enlightened boss for people to feel safe and comfortable. And we've had that, but it's the exception, not the rule. But what you're describing really is that, can I see this other person? Can I go beyond the label or the title and get to know them as a human being? Because once you do that, and the exchanges inside your circle help you practice, once you see them as a human being, then you realize we actually have a lot more in common than I would have thought before. They're actually not quite so different. Hey, there are things that I have that would be useful to them, that would actually be a contribution. So the relationship doesn't have to be uneven. They're a level 7, I'm a level 11, whatever. It's, yes, that's true, but we're two people and there can be an exchange. So it's without shame. It's without judgment. It's just contributions of making the most of what you have that can, again, build trust and cooperation, even if they're levels above you.
Yeah, I know. It's something we would typically not recommend. But if we can involve modern, self-reflective bosses in this process, I think it can really help in changing the company culture.
I think what tends to happen is that as people have been through a circle and cultivated these skills, after their circle is when they will relate to managers differently. So it doesn't necessarily have to happen in the 12 weeks, but there's a really lovely kind of cumulative effect over time. In fact, somebody at Bosch said, I can tell who's been in a circle because it's a certain openness and generosity and kind of confidence that, hey, you may be of a different level, but I know who I am and I have things I know I can offer. And I thought that was a lovely thing. That's really what I hope to do, is to say anyone who goes through this comes out of it standing a little taller and relating to people more on an eye level, no matter who they are.
That's a great metaphor, because it's different from all the others. When you are in a program like Working Out Loud, we have a 12-week journey. And that is exactly the point. We say that in 12 weeks, we can change a habit or behavior because you receive continuous feedback and it's a gradual process over 3 months. It's very different from a 2 days training where you might learn something intellectually, but it doesn't really translate into your behavior. Right. I truly believe, and I know many who are just as convinced as I am, that this is one of the most effective methods to change our culture and behavior because it happens step by step in a safe environment. When we think about leadership, it's not about saying you need to be like a top manager. It's about being in the circle with your peers. And on the other hand, I believe that whether you are a project leader or leading a small team, working out loud can significantly impact your leadership behavior and your competences. It supports you in becoming a better leader over time. Is there something specific, John, that comes to your mind when you think about leaders engaging in working out loud?
In my own career, and I worked mostly in banks, which are, you know, hierarchical, traditional places, there are a lot of good things, but there was also a lot of dysfunction. It was very clear that leadership is something that is bestowed upon you. It is given to you. So you become entitled. And if you don't have that title, you don't have that leadership. And that's not good for the company, because that's saying, hey, we've got four guys who are, you know, the leadership team, or 15 guys, typically guys, that are in the extended leadership team. And you're looking around like, why were you picked? So, look, again, we're not going to get rid of organization charts and leadership teams, et cetera. But what we can do is to have more people pick themselves and develop skills so they have influence. They have relationships with other people that help them get things done. And that is a very different kind of leadership. And to me, one is that's more important is it's not just about authority bestowed upon you by someone up the ladder. It's about, can you influence other people so that you work together toward a common goal? And that really, which one does the company need more of, right? It needs that second one. And other benefits will come when you choose yourself. Every day will be better for you. You'll feel better. And over time, your influence will spread and that will be recognized either in your company or in a longer one.
Yeah, I'm somehow dreaming of having working out loud in executive boards, you know, somehow that they...
quite a dream.
Yeah, I'm dreaming. I'm just preparing a new product. I don't know how to call it. It would be like having a collective, maybe leadership for board members, something like this. So if you think on this, normally they have their task, you know, and on the other hand, it would be the behavior to the openness, the transparency, the trust, eye level.
The vulnerability, right? I think there's something to that. I think, first of all, being someone high up on the org chart is very difficult. So don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing folks in those roles. It can be very, very challenging, even if they're paid well. Having said that, I think they too, and I agree with you, can use some skills that say, look, I don't have to be the boss. I don't have to pretend to be the smartest person in the room. I don't have to pretend to have all the answers. Yeah. I can be myself, and here are ways that I can relate to other people at different levels. Here's how I can be open and creative. Here's how I can encourage mutual exchanges, and for, not hoarding leadership, so to speak, but enabling and empowering other people to pick themselves. Yeah. Those two are skills. And, you know, executives, they're not in a safe space either. Everyone's out looking at them and judging them. And so you're right. I think they too could use that kind of a method where they could cultivate these skills and practice them in the workplace. They'd be better off. They could be their authentic selves more than they are today. And certainly the people around them would be better off.
Oh, yes. It's like team sports. You won't succeed if you have one standout player while the rest of the team isn't functioning well together. It's really more effective to have a team where everyone is aligned, knows the common goal, and works together as a unit. It's not about working against each other, but working together to tackle the challenges and to compete with the market. The strength of the team lies in the alignment and working together.
We've probably used that metaphor for 50, 70, 80 years. Like with teamwork, we're a team. I don't know. I rarely saw good teams because the systems and processes didn't lend themselves to that kind of trust and collaboration. You would be ranked. You would be graded. You would fight for bonus money, all of that. And so, you know, just talking about teams and psychological safety isn't enough. You have to experience it. And no matter what the boss says or whatever values are on the wall, people do not believe it until they experience it themselves. And what we're doing really with our circles is we're giving them a small space where they can do just that, where they could say, look, the company is what it is, but wow, I found three or four other people where I could really work in this new work way. Like I could be myself. They're actually helpful and not judging me. And we're growing together, growing in different ways, but there's a mutual exchange and I like them. I'm a better person because of it. I've helped other people. They've helped me. That's a much better way to work. And then ideally, after their circle ends, they carry it forward.
Yeah, John, I really like the image that we use in our workshops of the forest where all the trees are connected through their roots, creating a communication system that allows them to support one another. They share light and sunshine, and while each tree stands on its own, they are deeply interconnected. For me, this is really a powerful and inspiring metaphor for working out loud and what the future of new work and new leadership could look like. Supporting each other in a safe space, embracing new ways of working, and building a more connected work life. Leadership and the future of new way of working together. John, what do you think? What kind of leadership style will we have to develop to get very good into the new work life?
In the research, in the literature, there's something called leader autonomy support, which is just a kind of fancy way of saying that leaders are trained to support the self-determination of other people that they lead. And that's a set of skills, right? So if you just tell somebody what to do, then that's one kind of leadership. If you don't tell them anything and anybody does what they want, that's a different kind of leadership. And there's something in between where you're more of a coach. You listen more. Yes, you have opinions, but your opinions aren't the only one. You're actively seeking input. You're actively trying to create a work environment that makes the most of the talents and interests and passions of the different people, which will change over time. So this leader autonomy support, I think that takes a very confident person. I think it takes someone who doesn't cling to their title and defend it. I think it takes somebody who says, I will be better served and my company will be better served if I find a way, if I'm curious and interested in what makes the other people around me work well. How can I serve them, servant leadership? How can I serve them so that they make the most of what they have and then collectively we make the most of what we have? And that tree metaphor is a good one. You know, it's great if you want to grow tall and be the biggest tree in the forest and all that, but your chances of doing that are much greater if you grow collectively And there's a mutually beneficial exchange between you. And that's the way nature can work. Not always, but that's the way it can work in the forest. And that's the way we can work.
Yeah, yes. And the metaphor goes further. If you are the tallest tree, it becomes increasingly lonely and even more dangerous because you are standing out alone. And on the other hand,
that's where the lightning goes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
exactly
where the lightning goes. And it's the same for companies. It's risky. If decisions are being made based on just one opinion or one source of knowledge, especially in today's VUCA world, with its rapid pace and complexity, it's dangerous. Companies need a collective approach, a circle of diverse perspectives to make informed decisions and avoid relying on just one voice.
Yeah, for sure. And it, you know, I'm sure for that leader, it feels, if you feel like it's all on your shoulders, that's not going to be, no matter how much you're paid, that's not a great way to live and work.
Yeah.
But if you feel like, wow, I am very much connected with people that I trust and like, even though we're at very different levels or different jobs, that helps you as well as all those people.
So maybe one of our last questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add about leadership? More and more companies are in the midst of transformation towards new work and new ways of collaboration. Why do you think that working out loud could be a good method to use before starting such a transformation? How does it support cultural change, increase accountability, and foster self-organization, which we've already discussed? Why is it so important for companies to choose this method, your method, before embarking on a transformation?
Two reasons jump to mind. First is, I mentioned it's used in many talent development programs. Mm-hmm. And what I see very often is even the best and the brightest in the talent programs tend to wait. They tend to be unsure if it's okay to reach out or ask for help or send an email to someone who's at a different level from them. And these are the leaders. These are people that are like the future of the company, but they're not sure. And so they sit and wait.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible for them. That's terrible for the company. That's terrible for any transformation program, right? Because we don't know necessarily what to do. Something's emerging, so we need people to take initiative. That's one. Two is, in addition to this self-determination, this self-leadership that we cultivate with working out loud, where innovation happens in a transformational kind of program is the connection of ideas and resources and people within the company. So if everyone's just used to following the org chart, very often what a transformation program tends to be is a different org chart.
Mm-hmm.
And then people follow that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really much of a transformation. That's just a reorganization.
Yeah.
And for the company to get more from it, they're going to need everyone to say, how can I take advantage of this new role or this new challenge or this new opportunity? Not to wait for instructions, but to, in a self-determined, self-led way, to discover how they can make the most of it and then build the connections, the relationships, the networks to bring that about. And those between initiative, a sense of agency, and then creativity for innovation, those are two reasons why developing these skills in a working out loud circle would help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So we are more or less coming to our end.
Already?
Oh, no.
It's too soon.
We can have more if you want.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Is there anything else would you like to add for the leaders or for self-leading?
I'd say two quick comments. Number one, if you already consider yourself a leader and maybe you've got a team or multiple teams below you, I'd say please work on the skills that allow other people to pick themselves. allow other people to cultivate these leadership skills, because you will need them to do so, and you will be better served if they do. And then if you're not quite a leader yet, or you don't have a management role, you don't have a team yet, that's fine. There are many, many other ways for you to lead, for you to contribute in a way that influences other people, that can make a positive difference on their workday and their work, on your own workday and work, and on the collective outcomes of the company. And that's a choice that you can make. That's a way that you can craft your job, whatever it is, so that you can lead from where you are. That will take you to some wonderful places.
John, you have been working now with Working Out Loud for almost 10 years, and it's clearly something that is still exciting and inspiring you. What is it that you truly, deeply love about the work you are doing?
This, the number one thing. The number one thing is when I hear a story, very often, it could be in another language that I have to translate, but I hear the story of someone who did what we just said, which is that they chose themselves. They dared, with at first with the help of their circle and then beyond, they dared to do something that they didn't think that they could do before, that they didn't think they were allowed to do or good enough to do or something. And step by step in their circle, with the encouragement of that group in that safe space, they started to take steps. They started to take action. And they become kind of a different person. Like I said, there's a kind of a before and after. They're more confident. They're more fulfilled. They're more generous. And all of those things, you know, make their world better, make their world a little bigger, but also has a ripple effect on all the people around them. And when I read those stories, it's like, that's what I want to do. If I could, you know, every person counts. And if I could keep doing that, and make a little dent in the universe, a little positive dent, that would be a wonderful way to spend my working career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you very much for your time. Is there anything new within Working Out Loud that you are planning or what you can expect for the next month or year?
Yes. So a lot, actually. And but the short answer is, you know, even the original method that we first started to develop almost 10 years ago has changed considerably, right? It's less about social media and it's more about self-determination and leadership. But there have been multiple methods since then. And now we're really doing more, a wider range of innovations, more custom work, where we develop things for corporate universities or where we work with nonprofits. So we're doing work with some universities here in the U.S., doing work with healthcare. So as I said, you mentioned earlier, what are with three milestones? Working Out Loud itself has brought me into contact with people I never imagined I would work with. And so that's led to new projects, new ideas. And so we keep, yes, we have the original methods and they're great, but we keep coming up with new ways to help people change how they relate to each other in a more positive way, how they relate to themselves, how they relate to work. And, you know, with elections coming up and all the other stuff happening on the planet, we kind of need that more than ever. Just a way to improve how we relate to each other and ourselves, I think will go a long way. And again, I love working on this topic because I think we need it more than ever.
So, John, once again, thank you so much for your valuable time, your experiences, your stories, and your insights into the future of Working Out Loud. I'm truly happy and grateful. It's been now 7 or 8 years now that we started, since we first met in Zurich, and I really see how far we have come in our collaboration. Thank you.
Just saw that picture the other day. I think we were in Zurich, I met you, and from the very first, I said, this is a very smart, nice, capable lady. And then here we are. And that's kind of a Working Out Loud thing, right? You dared to reach out. We connected. We maintained it over time. And I love working with you. I have deep respect for what you do. I look forward to the future.
Yeah. And I got a friend in New York, you know, yes. And I'm very, very, very delighted to work with you, to be part of the Working Out Loud world and movement. And so thank you very much. And for everyone who would like to get in contact with you, we'll put in the show notes your contact via LinkedIn, your website, and your email, so that people can make a contact and get more information if they want. So thank you very much.
Thank you. This is great to talk to you.
That was Love to Lead, the podcast for new work and new leadership and for leaders and organizations in transition. Thank you for spending your time with us. And if you like our podcast, I would be delighted if you recommend it to your network. And if you listen via Apple Podcast or Spotify, please give us 5 stars. This will help us enormously to reach more people who are also interested in loving to lead and creating a working world in which we would all like to have a future.